Okay, well, here we are again. This is number 14 in Volume 7, Reason or Revelation. And we're looking at and into the book of the Revelation of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The angel of the church at Ephesus write, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you can tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have preserved and have endured hardship by name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Reason or revelation? I want you to get in your mind, those of you who are listening to this, you don't have a picture to look at unless you're on the internet and you're able to pull this off the notes of the teaching and you'll see a picture. But I want you to get a picture of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And it has the linen fence around it, and then you have the tabernacle inside it. And so when you go from the outside of the linen fence to the inside, you're in the outer court. And then when you go into the tabernacle, you're on the inner court. The same thing was the case with Solomon's temple. You had the outer court, and there were some other courts, but you had the outer court, basically, and the inner court. Now, God has since the creation of mankind been making himself known to those who would listen to him, rely on him, reside with him, in short, believe in him. He has given us all we need to approach him with boldness. God has opened, through Christ, he opened up so that we could come into the outer court. Now, if you're in the outer court, there are many outer court Christians. Believe me, you're saved, you're in, you're saved, healed, and delivered, you're inside the kingdom. But you may still be, and many still are, in the outer court. Now, in the outer court is where people use their reason or reasoning. Remember, this is Reason or Revelation is the title of this message. They use reason. Now, let's talk about reason for a little bit. I'm going to give you a few points here on what reason is. Reason is the basis or motive for an action, decision, or conviction. A declaration made to explain or justify action, decision, or conviction. Inquire about her reason for living, say. An underlying fact or cause that it's also that, an underlying fact or cause that provides logical sense for a premise or occurrence. There is a reason to believe that the accused did not commit the crime. Okay, now this is all involving reasoning. The capacity for logic, rational and analytic thought, intelligence, good judgment, sound sense, a normal mental state, sanity. You know, some people would say, well, he's lost his reason. He's lost his mind, you see. Logic, a premise, usually the minor premise of an argument. These are all things that we use. Now, let's talk about healing and reason for just a minute. If you pray for healing, the scriptures have said you pray for healing and healing comes. But if you don't believe that healing comes unless you can see it, you're reasoning the healing rather than believing the healing from Scripture. Is God a liar? No. The Scripture says that God is not a lie, a man that he should lie. So therefore, if God says you pray and you've received it, and you say, well, I haven't received it, I haven't seen it, you just wiped out your prayer. You just turned your back on what you just prayed. I pray for people who do all that all the time. We've had that happen in our meetings. I remember the one time we had a fellow here, and we prayed for him, and he was praising God that he was healed. And then he turned to a nurse in the meeting and said, now, could you get me all the information you can on this disease I have? He undid the prayer. You see, everybody has decided that healing has to be instantaneous. Well, first of all, Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says some people were healed as they went. Well, if you look and you see, well, I've still got a withered hand, you just, well, I didn't get healed. The minute you say or think, I didn't get healed, you just wiped out your faith and your belief in the prayer. We, according to Scripture, as it's revealed in Scripture, not reasoned in Scripture, but revealed in Scripture, we call things that are not as though they are. That's why the world thinks we're crazy. And well, it should think we're crazy. Because why? The world is using reasoning. Now, I'm not saying that the minute you step into the outer court, you're supposed to just become dumber than sled tracks. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if the Word clearly says something, then what it appears has no meaning to you because the Word says it's this way. We must be Word people. Now then, your own understanding uses reasoning. Now, in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lead not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Doesn't say might direct your paths. Doesn't say could direct your paths. Doesn't say a lot of things. What it says is, and He shall do it. Well, now, when the word shall is used in the third person, which is He, it means emphatically. Otherwise, it would say He will do it. But this is said for greater emphasis. He shall do it. Because normally in the English language you use shall with the first person, with I or we. And if you remember back when your school teachers taught you, they said if you use it in the second or the third tense, it is for emphasis. Now, let me tell you, if you say to somebody, I shall do this, and they say, no, you won't, you say, oh, yes, I will. Will now is in the first, isn't it? I will. That's your showing emphatically, I will do it. I will do it. You see, this is a fact. When a person begins a relationship with Jesus the Christ, it is due to revelation. Did you know that? Did you know that you started your first love with Christ because of revelation? Not because of just words, because of revelation. That's why I teach you to go out and talk to people about Christ, witness what He's done in your life, a very important part of talking about Christ, to witness to what He's done in your life, and then what happens? You see, then you've done your job. Jesus did not say, He said, make disciples. You don't make the disciples until after they've accepted Christ. So what happens is you give out the gospel, and the Scripture says that the Father draws them. And then when the Father draws them and they become believers, then we're to make disciples out of them. We're to teach them what it is. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to just talk to them about the Logos Word. What's on the printed page, just read it and seek God about it. You know, oh yes, usually the person heard the Word of God preached or taught or testified about from a person. But that is what catches the attention of the mind. The mind is the soul. That catches their attention. It's the Heavenly Father that does the drawing, according to John 6:44. It's the Heavenly Father that draws them by revealing the truth of the gospel, which brings a person to the point of accepting Christ. So we're not to have a scorecard saying, because we don't bring anybody to Christ, we bring them the gospel. The Father brings them to Christ. So who gets the glory there? The Father gets the glory. Now, draw near to Me and I will draw near to you. Jesus said we could approach the throne boldly, and we're told that in Hebrews 4:16. We can, and Jesus said, draw near to Me and I'll draw to you. This is God's whole message. Draw near and He will draw near. Then Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Yes, we can seek and find. But our seeking must not be for reason alone, but for revelation from the inner court. And that's where revelation comes in your walk with Christ. Understanding, which is a part of reasoning, comes in the outer court. You understand what the Word says. You understand what it says, that Jesus was born, you know, or the angel showed up and said this to Mary. You understand what is written there, but you may not have fully had it revealed to you, the meaning of that. Now, that makes it a whole different thing. It's the inner court of God's throne room where Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. That's the place where revelation comes. When the priests went in to the into the area of the temple, they went in and they had the 12 stones of on their breastplate, and then they had diamonds on their shoulders. And the only light inside there, when they went past those badger skins into the tabernacle, the only light in there came from the lampstand that God had them set in there. And the light refracted through there and wrote on the wall what they were to do. Now, you know, today you get a lot of criticism about, you know, reading these off-the-wall words to the praise music. God has been telling people stuff off the wall for a long time. He wrote Ichabod on the wall of a king. And he wrote on the walls of on the inside what people were to do. This, okay, pick up the camp and move it. This is what the people are supposed to do here. This is what, you see, God revealed that. It didn't make the person in there better than the person on the outside, but it was the person that God chose to reveal through. He does the choosing. We may choose Him once He's been revealed to us, but He does the choosing. He chooses who's going to do what in His kingdom. But when they went into the Holy of Holies, even, you see, the priest once a year could just go in there. Now, we live in a Holy of Holies now, practically. We live with the same Spirit, and I'll talk about that in a minute, in us that raised Christ. Now, what about revelation? You see, the Bible is not so much a book of do's and do's and do's, or don'ts and don'ts and don'ts, but a book of do, do, do. I'm telling you, if you claim to be in the body of Christ and all you see are the don'ts in the Scripture, you are definitely on the edge of the outer court. You're missing the whole point. It is not to prevent you from doing things. It is to empower you to do things. And I've talked to people who say, well, now, you know, I'm not supposed to do this, and I'm not supposed to. When you talk to that person, you know there's more culture in them than understanding of God. Because they still want to do all the things the people on the outside of the linen curtain or the linen fence want to do. They can't let their ration, they can't stop the rationalization in their mind, and they can't seem to keep their bodies under control. These people are definitely in the outer court. And I've seen people drift back and forth between the inner court and the outer court. That's a very dangerous thing to do. The Scripture talks about when you've been in and you've had some abilities and things, and then you walk off from them. But the Bible is not so much a book of do's and don'ts, but a book of do, do, do. The whole of the Bible is a book of God's revealing Himself to mankind. That's the whole reason we have the Bible. It's God's revealing Himself to us. It's, understand, it is revelation. The Bible itself is revelation. The Bible is a book of revelation. It is important to remember that revelation without harmony with Scripture may well be revelation from the adversary. Do you understand? If you say you're getting revelation and it doesn't line up with Scripture, you have been deceived by a demonic spirit. Unless you get a revelation that you can point to and show, many times God's given me revelations and I say, okay, show me that in the Scripture. I'll be talking to Him about some of you all. And I'll say, okay, now show me that in the Scripture. And bang, He does it just like that. Sometimes He doesn't do it just like that. Most of the time He does. Sometimes he waits. And I'll be walking along, won't even be thinking about it then. You know, I'll be doing something else. You know, wonder when this traffic light's going to change. And bang, there it comes. I got 2 Samuel 14:14 for somebody this very week. That's just the way God works. But the Bible is a book of revelation, and its purpose is to reveal God. It is necessary to maintain a more than working knowledge of Scripture. Let me tell you about a working knowledge of Scripture. Nikita Khrushchev, the premier of the Soviet Union, had the Bible memorized from cover to cover when he was a child. And he loved to meet with Western diplomats and Western heads of state and just to quote Bible to them all over the place. He had a working knowledge of Bible, but he didn't have a working knowledge of the full revelation of what the Bible was. As a matter of fact, he put many Western leaders who claimed to be Christians to shame by his knowledge of Scripture. So it's necessary to maintain a more than working or passing knowledge of Scripture, and not simply revelation without Scripture. Revelation without Scripture, I will tell you, will get you into a lot of trouble. That's why it's so important that every day you're in the Word. You eat every day, don't you? You sleep every day, don't you? If those are necessary for your body, why don't you think the Scripture is necessary for your spirit? Your spirit will never get control of your mind or your soul and your body without the Spirit taking control of your mind and your body. Because otherwise, your body and your mind will rationalize you, reason you into doing some really stupid stuff. Not will. It will. I'm always amazed at people who come to me and talk to me about all the pain they're in. You know? It amazes my wife too. You know? And they'll leave and she's going to go, "How's your pain now?" It just amazes me. And then the Lord will just take it away. She'll pray for me and bang, it goes. Because God's faithful. You know, there are many things in Scripture which defy reason and can only be understood by revelation. There are parts of Scripture, remember though, the Bible itself is a part of revelation. Not just the book of the revelation, everything from cover to cover is revelation. But then you get revelation from the revelation. That's when you know that you're in the inner court. Because it's in the inner court where you get revelation from the revelation of the Scripture itself. You see, the Bible itself tells us what it contains within it is foolishness to an unbeliever. If you just try to talk to an unbeliever and you just spout sometimes just a bunch of scriptures without relating it to anything, in your life, their life, or whatever, it sounds like foolishness. But when you pray for somebody and the pain goes away, when you pray for somebody and healing occurs, then you've used the same attention step that Jesus used. He used the attention step of miraculous activity to get their attention so he could talk to people about what? The kingdom of God. They asked him, "Tell us about the kingdom." He talked about the kingdom. Now, for all those people who think that if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be broke, busted, and disgusted, let's take a look at a prayer that Jesus taught people. Now, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's no more the Lord's Prayer than anything. That's in John chapter 17. The Lord's Prayer is where that's found. This is the disciples' prayer. Our Father. Not my Father, but our Father. He's mine too, but he's our Father. Where is he? In heaven. Holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Okay, thy kingdom come. What's the next words? Thy will be done. What's the next words? On where? On earth as it is in heaven. For all those people who say that it's pie in the sky for the great future, that's not what Jesus said. He said, on earth as it is in heaven. We need to understand, if we live in the kingdom, we live in the kingdom. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are of the kingdom. Now then, can you see how foolish people think that Romans 8:11 would be then? How can they think? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, the believer. The same Spirit, that very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You understand that is a death-defying spirit? Isn't it? Isn't that death-defying? They used to talk about Evel Knievel being death-defying. Uh-uh. Death-defying is when they're dead and they come back. That's death-defying. You know, most of the time he was probably just injury-defying and got a lot of injuries. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And that same Spirit is not there just playing games with you. This is not a ping pong match where you whack it this way and whack it that way. The Word of God is true and on its mark. Because the Word of God says it is there, and the Holy Spirit as well says so. You see, now let me ask you something. Can you feel your spirit? Can you feel your spirit? Now, just think for a second. Can you feel your spirit? You probably can't even feel your brain, your mind. Is it there? I know sometimes we all wonder about ourselves, but is it there? Sure it is. How do you know it's there? Well, I know it's there because the Word of God says it's there, and the Holy Spirit is there as well. Now, how do I know that? Because the Word of God says so. I don't have to feel it. This idea that you have to feel everything. How foolish. How foolish. Do you feel the television waves coming through your house? Do you feel the radio waves coming? Do they exist? Yes. Do you feel the electricity going through the wires in your home? Does it exist? Yes. Have you ever seen an excited electron in your wires? Probably not. You've seen, but you've seen the results of it, haven't you? You see the light come on. Well, that's what people are supposed to see in you, the light come on. They're supposed to know that the power is there because the light comes on. Because what we do is we dispel darkness. We take away darkness. These bodies we're in are just, they're just for a time. We are to dispel darkness. Because the Word of God says it's there is why it is. Why is there light? Because God said, light be. And then reported it to us so we'd know where it came from. Now you can analyze the living daylights out of it. You can figure out how fast it goes. You can see the results of it. You can see the plants growing in a window in the wintertime toward it. Those are results. But the light's there. Faith is the key, not feelings. If you're operating your life on feelings, you're operating your life begging the enemy to come in and ravage you. Because we walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. And we walk with both the Logos and the Rhema Word. Again, what's the Logos? That's the written Word. It's right there on the page. But the Rhema Word is when it comes alive off the page and you get even more revelation from the revelation that the Word is saying that it's there. And in that comes the power. That's when you know you're on the inner court. Now you're the one that has to decide. Do you want to spend the rest of your life in the outer court, bouncing around, sniveling around, going, oh, because you're so close to the curtain, you can hear the people on the outside of the tabernacle grounds talking about, oh, it's so bad out here. That's what you're beginning to listen to? Or do you want to work your way toward the inner court? And it is work. We may not be saved by works, but believe me, being in the Word is work. You know, I talk to people, okay, how much time do you spend in the Word? Well, it's just hard to find time. I just can't find any time. I don't have any time. Got 168 hours a week if you live a whole week. Same amount of time I have. Same amount of time Bill Gates has. The same amount of guy, he's now the number two richest guy in the world. The same that Warren Buffett, I think it is, the richest guy now, has. 168 hours a week, that's all they've got. That is all they have. That's all Billy Graham has. That's all any of the leaders who are into the Word all the time have, is 168 hours a week. So what is your problem? Your problem is you. Your problem is not God. You think God's getting you up and saying, oh, whatever you do today, I don't want you wasting your time in my Word, my revealed Word to you. And I certainly don't, I'm so busy today, I don't have time to reveal any rhema to you. Can you imagine God saying that? And if I said God said that, I defy you to find it in the Scripture. You know, you ought to say, hey, you know, you really got off the beam there, man. That's not in the Word. Exactly. When you're talking to somebody, I don't care if they claim to have been a Christian for 50 years. If you're talking to them and they're telling you something that doesn't line up with the Word, they're in deception. And if you listen to them and you accept it, you'll find yourself in deception too. Now, how do you prevent that? You get into the Word. And then you allow God to give you the rhema word, but you make sure that it goes along with it. Somebody comes up and gives you a prophecy, do what Mary did. Ponder that in your heart. Just ponder it in your heart. Because you've got to get a confirmation. And then it's got to line up with the Word. That's the way it is. But boy, let me tell you, when it lines up with the Word, when it's confirmed, when it's solid, when it's in there, you know that. You latch on to it. Now, let me tell you something. You know, a few weeks ago, I talked about time. I talked about past, present, and future. Remember? And I said, time is now. Well, let me tell you an important thing about the Hebrew word now that's used. There is only one now for each now. So now may be now, but it's not the same now that it was a second ago. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that God has timings, and we're in the last days, and we're supposed to be the last days church, and the Scripture tells me the last days church is more powerful than the first days church. I don't often use the word church, but that's what the Scripture says, so I use it, because in our society, we've reasoned the word church into a building. 100 years ago, it was a church house where the church met, and now it's the building. And we go, we get, as Billy Graham said back in the 1960s, we get our spiritual shot in the arm and then take off for the rest of the week hoping it'll last. Well, it doesn't last. Just like the manna didn't last. You've got to be in the Word. I'm not telling you don't give up your brain. I'm not saying park your brain at the door. I'm not saying become dumber than sled tracks, as I said a little bit ago. What I'm saying to you is, you have to, when you're using your reason, it has to be based in Scripture. And then the revelation, when it comes, will be so powerful. And you will be so powerful. There is no reason for Christians living in poverty. Poverty is under the curse. Read Deuteronomy 28. The blessings don't have any poverty in them. The blessings are there because for us, because we're grafted into Abraham, and we are back into the Garden of Eden living. As the Lord said, on earth as it is in heaven. Not sometime, you know, blah, blah, way out there. Today, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of saved, healed, and delivered. Delivered from what? Well, I don't know. I guess I'll be delivered when I die. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. You were delivered when you accepted Christ. Walk in your deliverance. You were saved when you accepted Christ. You were healed when you accepted Christ. Walk in it. Suddenly people will start chasing you down because you're going to have some relief that they didn't ever think they'd see in their life. There's going to be a line of people outside your door. You don't know how many people I have had come to me. They come to me and they say, I want to spend some time with you. I want to do this with you. I want to do that with you. I say, okay, well, come on. And they spend all their time with me talking about everything but the Lord and trying to convince me that the way they think is right. And my mama taught me manners. She said, don't interrupt people when they're talking. Now, you all have heard me tell a story recently that one person stood up in a meeting and showed their ignorance, really embarrassed themselves and didn't have enough sense to know it. We don't want to be like that. We want to be people that when we open our mouth, the Word of God is coming out of our mouth. The power of God is flowing through our hands when we lay hands on people for them to be healed. We want to be the kind of people that when the Lord says, what did you do with the 168 hours I gave you last week? That you've got an answer. We need to be people who write down our commitments to God. We need to write them down. If you plant a seed, write it down. This is a seed I planted. This is where I planted it. This is what I planted it for. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to tell that person what they do with the money or whatever it is you're giving them. But it means that that's what you planted it for in your garden. And then let the Lord send the rain and the sunlight and whatever. You know, you don't harvest the next day after you plant a seed. Have you ever noticed that? And what happens is people plant a seed and they'll wait and they'll wait and they'll wait and they'll wait. And then the seed comes up and they go, oh, wow, that's good. Maybe I should plant another seed. If you had been planting seeds every day with the Lord, what do you suppose you'd be getting every day from the Lord? Huh? You see, the Lord's got a 12-month growing season going in the kingdom. There were no seasons but the growing season in the Garden of Eden. If you plant every day, guess what? There'll come a point where you're going to be harvesting every day. If you're planting seeds of salvation in people, there'll come a point where you're going to be harvesting people every day. May not be the same people you planted the seeds in, because one may plant, one may water, another may harvest, but the harvest will come. But we spend our lives in mediocrity, reasoning out, leaning to our own understanding, knowing full well, certainly if you've been around me, that Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Reason or revelation? That's your choice. Where would you want to live? How do you want to live? You see, because God really did give you the ability to be your own God to yourself. Because whoever has the most influence in you is that. So if you're the one that gets to call the shots, then you're on the throne. You see, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you also need to accept Him as your Lord. And when you do that, it means you get up off the throne and you say, please, Jesus, you sit here. This is your seat from now on. And then you don't go back a couple days later and say, oh, excuse me, I want to sit there for a little while, but I know there's grace and you'll forgive me. So you just, if you don't mind, just move over here, Jesus, because you said draw near to me and, you know, and you'll draw near to me if I draw near to you. So I'll be back in a few days. That's not the way it works. The Lordship of Jesus is the Lordship of Jesus. Think about it. Do you step out from under the Constitution of your country when it's convenient? What happens when you step out from under the laws of your country when it's convenient? You run the risk of finding yourselves being penalized by that very same country and government, don't you? I want everything God has for me, not so I can hold it, but so I can give it away. Why do they call the Dead Sea dead? Because it takes everything in and lets nothing out. That's why they call it dead. There's no life living in it. It's dead. I'm saying life is found in Christ and come out of the outer court into the inner court of revelation and let the power of God that God so much wants to work through you, let it work through you. Only you can stop it. You are so powerful you can stop God working through you. You can do that. But please don't. Please don't do that. You see, faith is the key, not feelings. You must have faith in both the Logos Word, that written word that's been revealed to us through Scripture, and the Rhema Word, which jumps off the page when it comes out straight from the throne of God. Reason or revelation, that's your choice. And it is your choice. I can't make it for you. God won't make it for you. He loved you so much, He let you decide which side of the fence do you want to live on. Or do you want to spend your life in the outer court? Or do you want to spend your life in the inner court? Because time is something you do spend. And when it comes to mammon, you may not have as much as somebody else. But when it comes to time, you've got exactly the same amount. What's your excuse? When it comes to money, you say, I can't afford it. When it comes to time, you try to give the same excuse and it doesn't hold up. Let me reveal that to you. It doesn't hold up. You've got the same amount of time as the wealthiest person, or the brokest person, or anybody in between. Reason or revelation. That's my message for this session. I hope that this is a message that you could find some encouragement in. It's very important to be encouraged in the Word, but it's also very important to have the Word plainly spoken to you from time to time. Reason or revelation. It's up to you. And that's my message for this session.